This question's about thinking, and I imagine that it'll be the first of a great many questions about thinking, because thinking is one of the biggest problems, or so-called problems, that people have in meditation. The question goes like this: can you talk a little about thinking? Because even though I know it can't be stopped, I'm having terrible trouble with it during meditation. I speak at great length throughout the entire of the audio course about thinking, but I'm sure that for most people, not enough can be said about it because it's such a problem. But I think one of the most fundamental things to absorb about thinking is the fact that it is not the problem. Thinking itself is not the problem. The problem is your reaction to it. And in that, it's the same with everything in life. We have problems with things, not because of things themselves, but because of our reactions to them. And so the main emphasis of Vipassana meditation methods, which is where the methods you're practicing are drawn from, is to do with our reactions, not with things themselves. The Buddha said, life is innately dukkha, which means unsatisfactory or leading to suffering. But he also said, life is sukha, which is life is pleasurable. And indeed, the two are one. Life is pleasurable, and it's also unsatisfactory. And the suffering leads to the pleasure, and the pleasure leads to the suffering. They dance together. There's nothing you can do about that. You can't have a life which is entirely pleasurable, and you can't have a life which is entirely suffering. They all have their component of white and black. What makes life so problematic for us is not the presence of things that cause friction, and nor the presence of things that cause pleasure, but our reactions to these things. And that's why in meditation, it's the reactions we focus on. And of all the things that cause us suffering in life, I think it's thinking that causes the most. So let's talk a little bit about thinking. Basically, there's two types of thought in life. And one creates problems, the other one doesn't. It's entirely benign. This functional thinking, that is, thinking that simply signifies the presence of things or intentions to do things or decisions made or actions about to be taken and so on. A functional thought might be, for example, on hearing a bird, we might think, that's a sparrow. The next functional thought might be the sparrow's near the window. There's no reaction embedded within these thoughts. They're simply descriptions of place and event. And as such, they elicit no reaction. They're harmless. They're a function of mind simply recognizing what's happening as it happens. Now, these functional thoughts, if they were thought and left alone, then that would be fine. We'd think them and life would go on. But the problem with these functional thoughts is they usually lead to a reactive thought. And a reactive thought might be something like, after functionally recognizing the sparrow and where it is, we begin thinking about the sparrow, perhaps how loud it is when it sings, how it's disturbing our meditation, how we hope it doesn't make a mess on the windowsill, and so on. These are reactions to the presence of the sparrow at the window. And these reactive thoughts are highly charged because they elicit hormonal reactions of dislike, of resentment, of perhaps a little twinge of anger because we're being disturbed. And because they're highly charged, they act like magnets in the mind, drawing up other similar thoughts quite quickly, in fact almost instantaneously. For example, we might go from hoping the sparrow doesn't mess up the windowsill to a memory of our dog or cat having made a mess in the house yesterday, which then might lead to wondering where the dog or cat is in case it does it again, and did we lock it out, and so on, and you, at that point you're lost. So the mind thinks functionally. That's what it does. That's all that burbling that it does when you're meditating. Those thoughts that sort of bubble up, appear for a few seconds and then disappear. That's just functional thinking. Did I do this? Did I do that? That should be done. This should be done. And so on. But they lead to reactive thoughts. And reactive thoughts, as I said, are very highly charged. And then they begin to collect each other and lead to one another. And as such, they excite the mind, which in turn excites the body, which in turn excites the mind more, which in turn excites the body, and so on, and then you're lost. So my point is, in all of this, it's not the sheer presence of thinking that's the problem here. It's the kind of thoughts that are present. So don't try to keep your mind thought-free. That's impossible, as I've said in the audio course. Just notice the thoughts. Notice them and leave them be. Keep bringing your attention back to the main object of the breath. You're still aware of the thinking. It's bubbling up in the mind, as it always does, as it always will. But when you notice that your attention has, in very quick succession, gone to a functional thought and then immediately started reacting to it, then be very stern with your attention. Very vigilant. And notice the reaction. Pay attention to the reaction that you're having. For instance, let's go back to our example of the sparrow. Perhaps it's disturbing you've gone into a reaction, a set of reactive thoughts about how the sparrow is disturbing your meditation. This has a twinge of anger to it, as I said. In which case, forget the thoughts that are beginning to sort of spin out of this angry reaction and begin paying attention to the anger itself. Don't bother battling with the thoughts or trying to stop the thoughts or noting thinking, 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 thinking. Far better for you to go to the anger. Note the anger. Because after all, it's the excitement that's being created by your reaction that's creating the thoughts. Let's take another example. Let's say, for instance, you're sitting there meditating and you suddenly notice hunger and the mind begins thinking of food, perhaps a nice bowl of Irish stew, at which point your meditation is disturbed because then the hunger becomes more intense, and that brings up other meals you've had which were particularly delicious. A lovely meal that you had yesterday, or a meal that the best meal you ever had in your life. All these thoughts come up, all driven by the central energy component of hunger. It's hunger that's creating the thoughts. So forget the thoughts. Let them be there. Let them buzz around and pop and crackle. Focus on the hunger. Focus on the sensations of the hunger. Focus on the reaction. Treat that as a main object while it's there. And then when you feel relatively settled and the thoughts have sort of this, well, no doubt they'll still be spinning around, but once you feel relatively acclimatized to this to the sensations of this hunger event, go back to the main object and start meditating again. So the rule is, if thinking is being particularly problematic, hunt down not the functional thoughts that you're having, but hunt down the reactive thoughts, and then through those reactive thoughts, hunt down the reaction itself and begin contemplating that. What else can I say? Nothing much, really. Thinking is just something you're just going to have to get used to. And you've got to always meditate past the thinking. try to get used to the idea that thinking is just a normal part of the mental environment. And what you'll find is that the more you acclimatize yourself to this simple fact, thinking will change. At the moment, what you're used to is thinking as a thought event that is languaged, words strung one after the other, forming sentences, paragraphs, and so on. But the more you meditate past thinking, just accepting the presence of thinking in the back of the mind and focusing on what you're doing as you meditate, on the main object, on the reactions, on the body sensations, you'll find that the languaged aspect of thinking will slowly become transparent. And in time, after you've been practicing this in meditation for a long time, the thinking will change. And that is to say, it'll become less wordy and more energetic. That is, it'll seem like you'll notice that there's thought energy, some parts of which are recognizable, but most of which isn't. It's just energy arising in the mind, thoughts coming and going so fast sometimes that you don't even bother noticing them. They're just like water, or probably a better analogy is smoke rising from the fire, from the burning of your life in the center of your mind. So as I said, just keep meditating past thinking. Focusing on practical things, on things that have a sensual presence in the body, the main object, the sensations of the main object, not the idea of it, the sensations of the body itself, the sensations of the reactions that come out of them, that are begun in the mind. All of these things are the main arena. They should be the only arena for your attention during meditation. And you'll find that thinking and your recognition of it and noticing of it will calm down on its own. Thanks for listening.